Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, December 11, 2023. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening live over a radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, it's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we'll pick up on our scripture reading where we left off last week. We're in 1 Corinthians. Going to be reading chapter 13 tonight, read by Alexander Scorby. 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity.
Okay, Jan, are you here?
Yes, I am.
You wanted to talk to me? I had something to bring up. By the way, I think we have that meeting for tomorrow. I think you told me Wednesday. But I saw
No, I have two messages in your inbox on Skype that says you better be there at noon tomorrow. Okay?
Tomorrow. That's what
tomorrow. Put a big X on your calendar. So don't want to miss that. Okay?
Okay. What number did they call him? My cell or my...
I gave him both of your numbers. I assume he'll call on your Skype number.
Okay, that's good.
And he will call you so you don't have to do anything except pick up the phone, okay?
Sounds good. All right, thank you.
Okay. We have one announcement tonight. We've talked about General Michael Flynn and Clay Clark's remake. Awaken America conferences. They've been going on for some time now. They've had 33 previous ones. And they're having one this weekend, December 15th and 16th. It's in Tulare, California. They still have 228 tickets left. These are normally 3,000 tickets I believe this is one. They've had some audiences where they had a huge venue and they went up to 10,000 people, and all of those have been sold out. They're going to have Mike Lindell with them on this one, which would be interesting to me. They have the speakers they get are phenomenal. They've had David Martin, Dr. David Martin, Peter McCullough, Kash Patel, Karen Kingston, Judy Mikovits, Roger Stone, Mickey Willis, Mike Adams, Dr. Simone Gold, Sidney Powell, Dr. Christine Northrup, Thomas Renz, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Brian Artis, and many more among these speakers at their conferences. If you want to get the listing of the speakers and all of the particulars, their website is https://www.thrive, that's THRIVE, time, TIME, show, SHOW.com/reawaken-america-tour, and the link is in the newsletter under announcements. You can get ticket information there. Tickets are kind of interesting. They give you a number to call, and I think the standard ticket price is like $300 for the event. But if you are a minister, or I believe the military and some other categories, it's half that. They also, so they do it on a per case basis when you call. You just tell them what your particulars are, and they'll tell you what it costs. They have a live stream that you can do, which is less. It's like $100 or less, maybe $75. And it's well worth attending. These are the people that are current state of the art, and you won't find a better mix of people at one place anywhere. In fact, John and I and Gerard attended one of these last spring, and I thought that it was really a great way to get up to speed with the very latest on all of these issues we have. Other than that, John, we have a number of questions tonight.
Okay. Well, before we get going, you don't by chance have any contact information for the organizer of that event, do you? I know I've sent some email to them not too long ago and thought maybe I'd make a connection, but they don't answer.
I didn't catch that, John. I'll give you a buzz in the morning, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Okay. Let's go with questions. I guess anybody, by the way, anybody, Q&A is already open, so if anybody's got any questions or comments, you can get into the queue, *6 and 1 if you're on a phone. Any other app or browser should be a button, enter the queue. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, here in Pennsylvania, we've had some unconstitutional gun legislation pass the State House and setting for the Senate. We reached out to our local representative's office and have discovered that they have voted in favor of this legislation. We are considering pursuing the surety bond route and want to get your comments on this, if you think this is appropriate.
Well, you could go the surety bond route. Meanwhile, because you're outside the courts that way, you're going straight for the bond and an administrative process through that system. And that could work out rather well, I understand. I've never gotten through that system, but I've never had the opportunity to push it that far yet. so you could do that. As far as, we've written many papers. We've got hundreds of papers in the federal court. We've filed lots of papers, ultimately building a case to show conspiracy in the federal courts completely. Whatever they're doing in California, New York, Florida, it doesn't matter. They're all doing the same thing. And so we did file some papers, it was almost like an indictment on the federal judiciary. And we tried to file it 2 or 3 times. It didn't go through. There's a clerk over there. No matter how we try to go around that clerk, they just keep sending it back. So maybe it's too premature anyway for this. Wait until, we get to a certain point as far as when the military makes a move. Not sure exactly when, but at some point in time. we're going to file a paper from a different perspective. And what we might do is actually do an indictment on the entire federal judiciary. Think about that. Maybe people might want to talk about that tonight, ask some questions, get some thoughts and ideas. In any event, it'll be similar to an indictment because they're guilty of conspiracy. They're guilty of conspiracy to destroy the United States of America. Federal judiciary has abrogated the common law, the Bill of Rights. There is no constitution at all whatsoever in the federal courts. Whenever you're going up against the status quo, you're going to lose. And, you know, maybe there are some cases where you can kind of get through. We did have a couple of cases where we were successful out of hundreds. But generally speaking, they don't want to hear from you. They throw you out of court under Rule 12. They deny you a trial by jury. I got a couple of cases going right now. And on one of them, they literally keep changing trial by jury to trial by judge. I mean, who are these people? So they do whatever they please. So it's real difficult to win in these courts. And they do, you know, when you're coming up against the status quo, they usually get the judge that'll fix. You know, he'll throw himself right under the bus. He don't care. He's going to get you out of the court. We've got one of those judges, and we're going to go after that judge. But in any event, it is tough. Now, we've got a list of at least 20 items. Gun control is on one of them, you know, Second Amendment. And we have to turn our courts back to courts of justice. So again, as soon as, devolution is played to a certain point when the military has already made its move and things are happening, sometime at that point, we're going to file the papers. So I'm working on those papers now. We're kind of converting the papers we had that we're trying to get into the United States Supreme Court, and we're converting that really to go in from a different perspective. I'd like to really pursue an indictment on them, so I might think about that. Again, I'll get some thoughts and ideas from other people's, and then go in. Definitely we're going to sue the federal judiciary directly, and that includes the United States Supreme Court. We have to sue them all and require a trial by jury. So at least that's one way to go. But there are criminal things going on here, and maybe we should take a criminal route. We'll talk about that maybe a little more. So anyway, I guess that's it. Going for the oaths and bonds is a good way to go right now.
Okay, we have had a look at our property deed and did not find the term tenants on it anywhere to try to prove that we do not fully own our property. How can we articulate this document in inquiring about a land patent without proof that our tenant status is anywhere on the deed? Also, John has stated that one may not even need to go through the entire process of obtaining a land patent. He said that if one could approach the county assessor or recorder, that it could be more of a conversion or recategorization of property status. We went to our county real estate website and found that our property is taxable via the tax code and is classified as residential. John stated that the home or property owner should request that the property should be relisted as private. My question here is, how do we request this? Just directly to the recorder, via mail, telephone, in person? Is success to be expected?
Yeah, well, I think it would start in the town, because that's where you would really push to make the changes. You can go up to the real property. Well, let me think about this. Real property is not going to be able to help you. Records are not going to be able to help you. You got to go into the town, and you got to battle them, you know, whoever would be dealing with the taxes on the property, and you tell them that your property has been mistitled and that it should be private property and not residential, because yeah, residential automatically puts you into the tax code process. It'll be an uphill battle. They'll scratch their head. Maybe they never heard about it before. What are you kidding me? What are you crazy? Whatever it is they're going to say, I don't know. But if you push the issue, I think you can then move it into the court to force them to do that. You can try in the lower courts, of course, but definitely I would go in at least on the county level court, if not the state court. So that's one way to go. The other thing is, look, we're coming to the end of this year. This is 2023. Whatever you do, you're not going to, it's December, you're not going to get anything done till January, February. By the time you get into the courts, March, April, things are happening June, July. So you're half a year away from getting any kind of a process with that. All that's going to disappear once devolution takes place and we go back to the Republic, because that's a slave tax. It's a tax on property. How can they tax property? If you don't pay your tax, they take it away from you. They don't even give you due process. They just come take it. And they think they're your partners. But I believe the way I understand the paperwork is set up, they are claiming to be your partners. I mean, they won't tell you that. And I'm surprised you didn't find Tenet. I know I've found it before. So I don't know what to tell you on that one. I think, Gerard, didn't you find Tenet on yours also? And by the way, anybody who has a home, you got to make sure you're on a Homestead Act. And you should go to, if you're not sure, you should go down to, if you're living in a home and you're on the Homestead Act, and if it's not written up as the Homestead Act down in the county building, you go down to the records department in the county building, and they'll help you. You ask them for help. They'll help you find your property. And ask them to help you find out whether, it's been recorded as a Homestead Act. If you're on the Homestead Act, you can't lose your property. So that's kind of a battle. The IRS will try to take it from you anyway, and tax will too. But the bottom line,
well,
makes them different, Go ahead, John.
For land tax, they'll take it no matter what, even with the Homestead Act.
Because it's a process, yeah.
Right. I think that Homestead doesn't protect you from the land tax.
Yeah, but it'll protect you from the IRS, possibly. I don't know.
Any creditor, but you got to pay your dang land tax. Otherwise, and they'll take it using it in rem with no, like you said, with no due process. And I don't remember if mine said a tenant on the land. I don't think it did. But it doesn't matter, because if you read their real property tax law, it's just like the IRS code. They're calling you something you're not. They're making you commercial. That's the only way that they can legally get around it. And so, I mean, I'm surprised they're worried about that, but they basically describe the place as a commercial thing with dockage and wharfage and all this stuff that has nothing to do with me. You know?
Well, anyway, I think here is really go and wait until the devolution plays out. It's going to head here. There's no getting away from that.
I think you're going to see major stuff before the new year.
Well, it's not that far away.
Well, the first thing going to happen is the banks are going to fail, and that's going to sputter.
Yeah, I'm concerned about that happening pretty quick.
To a screeching halt. It has already happened.
You think they'll do it before Christmas?
I don't know. What did Trump was saying? It's going to be an amazing Christmas?
Yeah,
what does that mean? I don't know.
They don't care about God anyway. So.
But there's going to be major stuff. I mean, you're going to know that something's going on. No, people will not be asleep after Christmas, I don't think. I think it's going to be obvious that there's a takedown going on,
Yeah, nobody should leave money in the bank, because when they do a bank holiday, it could go days, it could go weeks, and I heard it could go months, which means your money's frozen up, you can't do nothing, can't touch it. So, I would tell everyone, move your money to other places, get it out of the banks.
I hope you don't mind if I interject real quick.
Sure.
Just to let you know, the BTFP program for the Federal Reserve ends in March, and March is usually when there's a tightness in the financial markets, so that's probably when we're going to see mass bank failures is in March.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we'll see what happens. We know things are really starting to heat up and getting closer and closer to, ground zero, I think we'll call it. So. Okay, let's move back to questions here.
John, do you know offhand, is there a minimum value they leave in your bank account, or they strip it completely?
Well, right away, what they're going to do is they're just going to freeze accounts. Maybe at the end of the day, you see, the thing is this. And I just heard this. I'm trying to think where I heard this. I might have heard this on X22. But they look at your money as if you're really kind of putting your money into the bank to go out on the market as a loan. Because they run loans against it. So they claim it. Anyway, I don't know. You know, they usually go to the Fed window for many things. But I guess other loans, however they work that out. But you looked at it as an investor instead of just a depositor. And when the bank goes under, well, they're going to take your money. If there's anything left, maybe you get 2 cents on the dollar. I mean, the dollar's only worth 2 cents right now. No, probably one, that's right. It just went to $2,000 an ounce, over $2,000 an ounce. So your dollar is worth 1 cent. That's what it's worth. So it'll probably be a tenth of that one penny you'll get back on the dollar.
My understanding is every country has passed bank bail-in laws, which means that if you have over $100,000 in the bank, they can take it all, except for the $100,000.
They do what they want. Yep. They're thieves. But don't worry, we'll get it all back. Because once we take all their money away and all their property, all their liquidity, all everything that they have, which is probably 90% of the total economy of the world, once we take all that back, where is it going to go? It's going to get to the people who are injured. Who's injured? We're all injured. You know, we're all casualties of war to begin with. We've been at war for a long time. And to some degree, actually, we've been at war for our lives. The Revolutionary War never really ended. It continued onward. And we can lay that case out pretty clearly. But anyway, yeah, put money out of the bank. Leave it in there. I leave very little, a couple of hundred, 300, 400. That's about it. Try not to leave much in there.
Okay.
Let me move over to, go into. So while we're going through these questions, anybody wants to get into the queue, *6 and 1. I thought I said that before, but I guess I didn't open the queue up. So it's a *6 and 1, and if you're on an app or a browser, should be a button to get into the queue. All right, Jan, back to you.
Okay, this person asked a question last week about why the sheriffs of the southern border states do not declare posse comitatus to get the local county militias to stop the invasion. You replied, that does not make it right. I know nobody wants to kill another person, but there is a difference between murder and killing for self-protection. That's the reason we have militias of the states, to repel insurrection and defend against invasion. This is a self-defense situation. Are you sure that declaring posse comitatus is not right in this situation? We're fighting for our very existence almost the same way as Israel. The militia is who saved the Hammonds and Bundy ranches. Should we act now or wait till the next September 11th attack?
Well, I hate to tell you, you will get nowhere with that because, due to ignorance, that's the problem. Sheriffs are ignorant. People are ignorant. A few people here or there, of course, are not necessarily ignorant, but generally speaking, as far as the law is concerned, as far as the Constitution is concerned, as far as, for instance, the sheriffs really understanding their authority and their job, they understand it a little more than, of course, the police departments do. They do kind of understand that they're above the local police. They kind of understand that. But nevertheless, they're being kicked around quite a bit. Powers have been taken away. They continue to be taken away. Some sheriff's departments closed down for not too many, thankfully, but enough. You know, one is too many. There's nothing they're going to do to be able to do posse comitatus on the borders to deal with the problem. They'll run into the problems with the Fed to begin with. And they do have the military down there, I understand, actually helping people coming in. Go figure that out. But in any event, it could be problematic. So I don't see that going anywhere. But again, we're here because there's still people who don't understand the problem. I think we're very close. But nevertheless, we still need to turn some people because when what happens, happens, people are going to freak out. And the people that are really ignorant are not going to understand. So we got to keep that percentage really low So really wakening up the people is the key thing. That's what they've been doing. And but it's got to, and I think we're there. I mean, who knows? I think we can run in the next month or two. Things can really, you know, hit the fan, so to speak. And I think we're ready to go do whatever has to be done. But not my call. So again, I think that I can only suggest hang in there. I wouldn't bother going into the courts with a lot of these things, but going after people's bonds, that's a real good idea. We do. There is a process. We have information. We've connected to a website that has a lot more information. We teach a little bit in our law course, so plenty of information out there on that. Okay.
Okay, as we all know, basically the whole system is corrupted. And that being said, I feel as if it's my right and my duty to do something when Congress won't do their job. So what I would like to do is sue the federal government for the invasion of our country. We all know it's being done on purpose to destroy and destabilize America. Their first and foremost duty is to protect this country and its people. That is the very least dereliction of duty. But I would say it's treason. So why can't I and some others file a lawsuit for these crimes? Like I said, we see our so-called reps are in on the scheme. I know John will say that after devolution, but I'm beginning to think that's a pipe dream. And if we do find out that's the case, what then? No one is coming to save us. We have a woke military.
Well, you can call it a pipe dream if you want. That's only because you haven't looked completely on to the other side. I'm absolutely convinced because I've dug deep enough and I've looked for consistency, so I'm absolutely convinced on it. And there are other reasons I'm convinced also. 2016, 15, 14, I was in a lock and load mode. That's where I figured we were going to end up. I didn't see us getting out of that. But after 2016 and Trump became president, my whole focus has changed. And by the time, 2018, 2019 came about, it became very obvious to me that that things are moving along. Devolution is in play. It's real. It's going to happen. There is no way to save this nation but the military. Military is the only way. They got too much of a control and a hold. But, you know, if you look to see what's going on, these people are on the run. Why are they on the run? Because Trump has set a lot of traps. He's made a lot of changes. He prevented them from doing a lot of things. And he's just one step ahead of them. And they're pretty nervous. But anyway, we're going to find out next year. People will then know what's going on. But going back again, there are certain things you're not going to get anywhere. Have you heard of Rule 12? You can't go into the courts because the courts are not going to stick up for you. The courts do not obey the Constitution. It's gone. Go read the rules. Rule 2 that the federal district court put out themselves, you know, the federal judiciary. They created it. 1934 Rules Enabling Act gave the power of the judiciary to write their own rules, and in 1938 they put out their rules. And it was written by a combination, written completely by the Bar Association ultimately, but, you know, let's make believe like they do. Supreme Court really put it together. But in any event, they put rules together. Rule 60 took away all your rights of any kind of a writ that you might want to write, the right of the sovereign to write writs of error, and other writs, that's all gone. They decided to get rid of that by rule. The common law and the rules of common law, they did away with that. They replaced it with civil law and the rules and their federal rules of civil procedure. So that's what they came up with. Rule 2, that was under Rule 2. And Rule 12, if they don't like what you look like, they don't like what you sound like, they don't like what you're writing, you're out of there under Rule 12. I've been in this court system for a long time. We've been in here in the federal court since 2016. Nothing has changed. I see exactly how they operate. It's the same way. And as I mentioned earlier, you go to California, any of the federal courts there, you can go to Connecticut, New Jersey, Texas, Florida, New York, anywhere you want to go, any judge, any federal court, it's all the same thing. They've destroyed the republic. We are no longer a republic. And Congress and the administrations over the years, they have destroyed the republic and has made us a democracy. And that's what you got. And we're there because we, the people, are absolutely ignorant. And I speak to myself first. We're absolutely ignorant. We're not paying attention. We're not learning what needs to be done. I've changed that for myself. I know a lot of people here that come to the Monday night meeting have changed it for themselves, but there's still a lot of people out there. They're just not willing to step up. They think the other guy is going to do it. Shame on them. You need to step up. If you don't step up, well, the guy next to you is not going to step up, because I can already tell you, you know. Matter of fact, I just put something on the website. I heard this quote a while back, and I came across it, and I said, I got to put this up on the website. And this is a Mark Twain quote. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And that is so true. You know, a very small amount of people really respond to do anything. I'm going to say maybe 1 out of 1,000, maybe 1 out of 500. I don't think it's 1 out of 100. So, but it's a pretty big number there. Only 1 out of a pretty big number will actually do something. And that's where we're at. That's why we need to hit critical mass. That's why we have to go professional. You know, we're not going to really, well, we're going to do what we have to do in the courts and so on and so forth, but we're not going to be really super successful, for instance, on building our committees of safety and educating people and convincing people that at least a few people in your committee of safety need to understand the law, be able to advise people on the law and how things work. But in any event, you know, it's going to take critical mass, and it's going to take us to go professional, which means someone to give us some really serious money in order to do the things that need to be done to save this republic. I do kind of think it's going to come eventually. I guess it's just not in the plan at the moment. So, you know, we're still kind of under the radar to a certain degree. But we are known out there also to a certain degree. But we'll see where we go with that. All right, next.
That's the end of the question, Sean.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, do we have people in the queue? Let me go take a look. Yeah, we do have people in the queue. So, all right. Gerard, are you going to be around? And maybe I can pass things over to you a little after 10? Yeah, let me move on while I'm waiting for the answer.
Yeah, I guess, if I'm not asleep. No.
Don't let me put you to sleep again.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to say, they put out again, I've seen it before, but I watch it again, is this Plandemic 3. And it's the uncut version. Everybody should watch it. It has a lot of G. Edward Griffin. And it's kind of really neat because they show his speeches from 50 years ago, and he lays out the whole Marxist communist agenda. Griffin, and they put it in this pandemic. Yeah. Really, really well done. And basically, you can see how it's happening right now that we're in it. And at one point, he's quoting and saying this stuff, and then his face changes today, 50 years later. He's like, I never thought I would be here 50 years later, you know. But
yeah, Griffin's born in 1959 or 1958. We have one of his first documentaries. We have all of his documentaries, I believe. Maybe we're a couple short, but I don't think so. And by the way, if you take our civics course, we have all of his documentaries in that civics course, and it lets you know exactly how we got to where we're at. And people need to watch that. But finish, Rod, back to you.
So anyway, they have a lot of Griffin stuff in there, and they cover. They have Dr. Michael Martin, who is very, very good. He's a, you know, a researcher and a doctor. He's the guy that wears a little bow tie. I love him. But at one point, they show how they do this color revolution, Black Lives Matter, get this one against that one. And they said, they got you thinking that you're a minority, when in fact you're a majority, but everybody's afraid to talk. See, there's more people awake right now than there ever was. Make no mistake about it.
I do agree with that.
And
I heard as high as 70%. What do you think?
I think so. And I know, look, I talk to a lot of people all day long in my business. I go in the stores.
I don't ever pay attention to anything that I know. They're all complaining.
Nobody says nothing until I get them going. Yeah, it's like everybody's afraid to make the first move. Oh, they'll lock me up. I say things today that would have got me locked up during the pandemic. You know, they probably would have arrested me for some of the stuff.
Well,
but I got people shaking their head yes, and you know they're relieved that somebody's actually saying what they're thinking. So it's a lot better than you think it is. There's a lot more support, especially outside of the liberal cities, you know what I mean? And even the liberals are coming over because it's gotten to the point that it's so ridiculous. But they also make the point in that movie that it's the educated people that get fooled with this stuff. It's not the working man. It's the guys that have been in universities all their lives and they trust what the government is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not somebody who works outside all day or it's building something or actually doing something. It's all these people that have higher educations, your doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, and they kowtow, and they're mind controlled by the very organizations that they got their training from. And so, you know, that's where National Liberty Alliance is going to have to step up. And I actually envision that they're going to come to us. If they got half a brain, they look at what we got, they're going to ask us to be part of the re-education of America. You know what I mean? As far
well,
as bringing...
You know, that event that Jan spoke about earlier tonight, we went to last spring, you, me, and Jan, and you know, all those individuals, we should try, I don't know, maybe we should try to contact those people again. Because we need to get our message out with their message, because we have the educational message. We have the solution to government by consent and how people can have that government by consent and help them organize, help them educate, so on and so forth. Because that's one problem. Because all they do, you know, when you really listen to these people talk, you know, they're all doing something. They all have a, you know, a thing that they're doing, and it's and getting to do something. So what do they tell us to do? They say, well, vote. I mean, that's about it. They don't tell us anymore as far as the mass is concerned, you know. But people can do a lot more than vote. As a matter of fact, I want to add on a little bit. I realize I didn't really answer the question to the last person that Jan had read that question on. And as far as the Congress and the Senate is concerned, okay, we're definitely going to sue for to have the Senate, for the 17th Amendment to be held null and void. We don't need a constitutional convention. We don't need anything. It's repugnant, and we need the courts to rule that it's repugnant because it's contradicted to the Constitution itself. It destroys the balance of power, and I've already written a paper on this, so it should be pretty easy to put that together. And I do believe I don't know whether we added that in or not. We also need to sue the Bar Association. They need to shut down, cease and desist, because they train people how to destroy the Republic. And there's U.S. codes that require jail time for that. And anybody who teaches sets off a platform in order to spring forward these things, these ideas, in order to destroy a Republic, that's subversion. But in any event, Trump is working on taking out, as far as the legislators are concerned, and I think also a lot of the judges. Personally, every single judge on a federal bench has to go. That's my opinion, because they've all held up the evil process of the destruction of our judicial system. They've all held it up. They've done so much damage. They've injured so many people, families. It's just, you can't even count it. The destruction goes, and it goes back 100 years, actually. It goes back a lot further than 1934 and 38. But in any event, you know, we do know that Trump's going to clean up as far as the legislative branches are concerned. That's going to be cleaned up. Those people are going to go to jail. I'm sure a lot of them are going to end up on the end of a short rope. As far as the administration is concerned, well, Trump will be in office, and let's see where he'll get the right people going. As far as past presidents, well, I think some of them are going to hang too. So that's going to be taken care of. And again, they will, the two things that, well, the three things that we have to focus in on is we have to deal with getting rid of certain amendments that were made, like the 16th Amendment and the 17th Amendment particularly. Potentially, I don't think so in the 14th Amendment. I've been back and forth on that. At this point in time, I'm sitting okay with the 14th Amendment. It just the only difference is what interpretations or the meaning of words do you give? Do you give the regular meaning of a word that's been around for 1,000 years, or let's look at the court system, hundreds of years? Are you going to rest in what it meant for hundreds of years, or what they've changed it to mean? Okay. So I don't worry about the 14th Amendment much, but the 17th Amendment and the 16th Amendment, the 16th Amendment really isn't that problem either, as long as, the interpretation of what the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled on numerous occasions concerning the fact that the 16th Amendment really didn't add anything new to the Constitution, and it certainly didn't add anything to taking taxes on people's wages. But nevertheless, I think that needs to be overturned. But the 17th Amendment definitely has to be overturned. And I don't know that Trump has a plan for that. I don't know that Trump and the people that he's with, although they're starting to talk about the Republic, I don't think they really understand as much as they should know about the Republic. I don't think that they're educated well enough, educated more than most people, I think, of course. They're looking at the law. Particularly that controls them, and they're applying that, but they're not applying the common law. They're not applying the rules of the common law. But they are applying the law, the particular, USCs, the United States codes that has to do with, themselves, for instance, the president, for instance, is under USC Title 3. And if I recall, I think there's like maybe about 900 or 800 pages to Title III. So there's a lot to know about Title III. And that gives the powers and the authorities of the president. And so with that, they know, and they'll be able to take a lot back under Title III with the power of the president, and also to apply the necessary codes against these individuals that have been breaking the law. Particularly under, goodness, what is it? Let me think about this. I think it's 28, isn't it? Yeah, 28, I believe. Yeah. 28th is Judiciary and Procedure. Goodness, I forget which code it is that really applies to them. I thought it was 28. Matter of fact, it may very well be 28. 28 may be the one that they can apply a lot against these people. But we have to take back the courts. We have to lay out the problem and the situation, the damage they've done, and we have to demand that these people be removed. We'll let it up to leave it up to different grand juries to deal with these problems, because, again, these judges have done so much damage, a lot of people are going to go back suing these judges now, and rightly so. I don't know, we'll see where it goes. They certainly don't have enough money to pay back all the people they damaged, and even their whatever kind of a bond that they have wouldn't even be able to take care of that. It's just too big. But the people will be compensated by what is taken away from the elite, if you might want to use that name. And again, like I said, they probably control at least 90% of the entire economy of the world, owning all the major corporations, all the subsidiaries underneath them. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So we need to deal with the courts. I think Trump's going to deal with the government structure in itself, probably a lot of judges too, but we want to get rid of all of them. And that might be true in every state court also. I know here in New York, boy, I'm going to have my hands full in New York once we get to the other side. I got all kinds of lawsuits I'm planning to go after, not just for myself, but for the people themselves. I mean, the damage they've done also on the gun control, these judges got to go. All the damages these people have caused in the court system alone is just, it's, can't even calculate it. So, okay, we're going to move on to questions now. right, we'll take a first caller. Let's see. Is that Gonzalez? You got the mic? 209 area code. You got the mic. Going once. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yep. What's your first name and your state?
Nancy, and I'm from California.
Nancy from California. Go right ahead. You got the mic.
The question is, if you are already serving time in prison for a sentence that you were already binded in, and you become a secured party creditor in prison, you go back to county jail for resentencing and have a lawyer that's doing resentencing, does that bind you back in contract with the government?
Well, I have no contract. I don't know. People talk about having a contract with the government. I don't have a contract with the government. There has to be a meeting of the minds for there to be the contract. And so, therefore, any contract they think that we might have with any of us doesn't exist because I didn't have a meeting of the mind. So I have no contract with anyone unless I had a meeting of mind with them. Look, at anybody that's in jail right now, this is going to be a real serious problem because everybody in jail is in there. Even the people that belong in jail are there illegally, unlawfully. They did not go through a court of justice. They were not tried by a true jury. Every jury is stacked. Every jury, state, federal level, all stacked. Indictments, again, they get their ham sandwich. They haven't even had a proper indictment. A lot of people in jail without an indictment. Okay. It's going to be a mess for a while. I think there's a lot of people that and we'll try to work on this to some degree as much as we can. There's a lot of people that we can do just across the board. These people need to be set free. For instance, anybody that has been put in the jail from a town court, a village court, or a city court, they need to be released immediately. Those courts don't have the power to incarcerate or fine. They do. Well, they do have the power to fine under commercial law only for commercial activity. And anything outside of that, they don't have the power. They don't have the power to fine one of the people. They don't have the power to incarcerate one of the people. So automatically, every jail, every local jail, county jail, shall I say, anybody in jail that was put there by town court or city court or a village court needs to be free. Now, there are, for instance, here in New York State, okay, the city courts in New York City are called courts of record. So those are lawful courts that people can be. But the problem is the juries are stacked, a lot of corruption, and the juries both on the petit and the grand jury are stacked, okay? And in many cases, they don't get it. And if they made a plea deal, that's unlawful. They can't do that. If someone wants to plead guilty, they plead guilty to the trial jury. And the trial jury hears the case anyway, as much as they can, to come to an understanding on what they think that the penalty should be, if there should be a jail sentence. And jail sentence is not the necessity. It's not the thing that common law is all about. Common law is about restitution. It's not about jail. There are some people who belong in jail. There are violent people we have to put in jail. But generally speaking, most people we don't have to put in jail. And it costs a lot of money also to house people in jail. I mean, people, again, we have to think, the people have to decide these things, and the people have not been deciding. So it's going to be a mess, a real mess. And like I said, we're going to focus in on the federal courts in the beginning. We've got to get the federal courts back to justices, courts of justice. Once we bring the federal court back to courts of justice, it's a slam dunk on every court underneath because we can move it to federal court for cause and they can require them to obey the law or even cease and desist if we're looking and it's a violation, for instance, a violation against one of your unalienable rights. You can get a cease and desist order for that particular court. If you're the defendant, then they're coming out after you. So there's a lot of things that we have to do. And we need people to help, too, by the way. Everybody needs to get involved in this. Nobody should be on a free ride on this. If you're an American and you got a brain and you're listening and finding out what's going on, you owe it. You owe it to America to step up and do something. As Kennedy said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. You know, that's where we're at. This is what we need to do. All right, Nancy, anything else?
Okay. Just one more question. Is there any common law jurisdiction courts in California? And if so, how are we able to switch over?
I open up common law courts every time I open a court case, but they always close it down and throw you out and go through all kinds of changes. Once in a while, you can get through. Look, I got two cases. I got one in the federal court right now. I got one in New York State court. And I think both of them are going to get through to a trial. Even though the federal judge just threw us out, okay, and we've already did an appeal on some decisions he's made, and while we were waiting for that appeal, he decided to push Rule 12 on us. And I think we've got a real strong case, and I think we'll be able to get it up to the Supreme Court if we have to. I know Robert Schultz is going to work with us a little bit on that one probably when we go to the U.S. Supreme Court. He's got some experience up there. So I think we got two cases that'll work, but we'll see what happens. You know, again, we don't know. New York and California is real tough, real, real tough. I mean, we're two of the worst states out there as far as the judiciary is concerned. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
All righty. And you should take a course if you're looking to deal with problems in the court. Everybody should be taking the course. So, again, it's under here, Education Starts Here, Court Access in the Common Law. We got lots of courses you can take for free, foundation courses and so on. You should take all those courses. But the real course, as far as a law course is concerned, is Court Access in the Common Law. And under Education Starts Here, and just click on Court Access in the Common Law, you can sign up for the course. Here's a table of contents people could take a quick look at. You can go out and, well, you won't be able, well, you could see this because we do put it out on the paper to sign up to take this course, but these are all the things that we cover in our course. It's quite involved. So, okay, let me go to
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Mike. What state you're from, Mike? You got the mic.
Hello, John.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Good. If I complain, no one listens.
Yeah. I filed my paperwork last week. I spoke to you about my my gun case, concealed carry. I filed my paperwork. I messed up. I didn't file a notice of motion.
Yeah.
Should I refile the entire thing with the notice of motion?
Refile the whole thing. Refile the first order of business, get a notice of motion, send it to everyone. And put your papers, underneath it, and because it's worthless, and they won't tell you. They'll wait till it expires, and then you're out.
Right. Yeah. I was there for my arraignment, and they didn't mention it at all. She did tell me she had jurisdiction. She assigned me a public defender, which I objected to. Entered a plea of not guilty for me.
Did challenge jurisdiction and get into detail of jurisdiction? And did anyone answer that challenge of jurisdiction?
They ignored my paperwork, but she did tell me she had jurisdiction.
No. Did you make your paperwork in affidavit form to begin with?
No, I made it a notice to show cause.
No, resubmit it. Do it with make. Well, you could do it the same way, but you got to put SS on the top, sworn statement. You know, Dutch, whatever county you're in your state, and on the bottom you want your notary, and you want to make this a sworn statement. When you're challenging jurisdiction, you do it as a sworn statement now, and you lay out all of the facts why this court does not have jurisdiction over you. Now, they now have a duty, you know. Look, they're going to try to pull a wool over your eyes every time. Even if you did this, with an affidavit form, they're just going to, nonchalant, push it aside. Nah, we've got jurisdiction. Let's move on. Well, you've got to make the argument. Excuse me. An affidavit rules the court. An affidavit unrebutted rules this court.
Okay.
I put in an affidavit. Nobody rebutted it. I got questions here. You have to now respond to this. And if there's a prosecutor. That prosecutor has to respond. It must be once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be heard. That's the law. Okay?
Yeah.
And you got to make that clear to them. You're in the court, right?
I have the understanding on that.
We have lots of go into our footnote area there. Uh-huh. We got lots of footnotes, and you'll find those footnotes that'll really deal with that particular problem.
Yep, I used quite a few of those. I used your paper, Verified Show Cause Denial of Jurisdiction, mm-hmm. but that's the only thing I filed. So if I'm following you correctly, I need an affidavit.
Into an affidavit. It should already, if you're following what I put together, probably was originally in an affidavit form, but maybe not. But the thing is that, when you start your paperwork up on the top, right under the heading, below your heading there, you can put SS and then skip a line. No, I'm sorry. You put your county, skip a line, put your state, and come back up, and you put the parentheses on the three lines. I'm sure you've probably seen this already. And then put SS, and that means sworn statement. Your county, your state, sworn statement. And then on the bottom of your paper, once you sign out, you sign your paper, well, you sign it before a notary, and you have the notary, paragraph there. Now that is an affidavit. Now,
okay.
The affidavit must be heard. It must be challenged. And if no one challenges that, then that's the facts that rule this court. These judges are going to argue with you. You've got to be able to stand up to them to some degree, but be careful. Don't push too hard.
Right. Okay, so I did file that. So I think I'm okay on that, but that's no good without the notice of motion. Is that correct?
No, it's no good without the notice of motion. And now, the notice of motion was a challenge of jurisdiction? Or notice
well,
of motion
that's what it will be, but I like I said,
well,
I
you
didn't
don't,
file
you don't have to, you don't, well,
what I filed was a verified show cause denial of jurisdiction.
Yeah, well, verified means that it's sworn to. You should then that's good too. Once you use the word verified, because then at the bottom, you would have your signature in front of a notary.
Yes, I have that.
Well, then you've got an affidavit.
Okay, so I've got an affidavit, and I need to refile the entire thing or just the notice of motion?
No, you got to do both.
Do them both, okay.
And notice of motion, better put it on top. And when you look at one of the things, they play all these games. You have to have it served. Let me think. You're coming in. You got to have it served. Have someone serve it that's not part of the case. Number one.
Yeah, I've got somebody she's a professional that does
service. And when you do it, make sure and you make the note that it was mail certified and regular mail, U.S. mail. So you drop to two copies to everyone. One you drop into the mailbox uh-huh. without going through certified, and the other one you do certified with a return reslip. And then you have, of course, someone doing this for you, so that they're gonna write an affidavit, a certificate of service, and then you're gonna file that in the court too. And then you're gonna move the court to answer. Well, you let go for 30 days, and then you file a default.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Now, what I've been doing is driving up to the county where the court case is going on, and there's a service processor that's on the same street as the DA, so she's just walking down and serving him personally. Is it better to go through the mail for that?
Well, no, they can walk right down and serve
okay.
it. If they're going to walk down and serve it, you have an extra copy, at least the front page, but you have an extra copy, and then that person needs to have them stamp the copy that they received it.
Okay.
I mean, you could you can file it in the court, but as far as serving it on the other individuals, that has to be served. That could be done in person if you want, or it could be done in the mail.
Okay. Now, when I file my copy in court, do I have to have the affidavit of service? Does that go with that? That shows that the
file it in the court within a few days. You just want to file the affidavit of service. So if you already sent it out and you got the affidavit of service, and you're going to file in the court, well, then file it all at the same time.
Okay.
But whatever you file in the court, you want to make, you got to make two copies of anything you bring to the court. You want them to timestamp the one that you're going to walk away with for your records.
Okay.
I don't trust them with anything.
Right, yeah, I don't either.
Okay.
Okay, now the judge entered not guilty for me, which I objected to.
Ask him if he's going to represent you.
Well, what I did was I told her that I objected. I said, you know, the magistrate's not allowed to practice law from the bench. And
what did they say to that?
Well, she wasn't very happy. She said, I'm not a magistrate. I am a superior court judge.
Is it a court of record?
Yeah, it is a court of record.
And she's a magistrate.
Well, not a common law court of record, but they call it a court of record.
Well, their courts of record is a court that keeps a record.
Right.
Have you turned this into a court of record? Have you demanded a jury trial under the Seventh Amendment?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, you didn't have an indictment either, right?
No indictment, and on my paperwork, my verified show cause, I did put the jurisdiction court of record under the rules.
You suggest move this to federal court for cause, Seventh Amendment violation, I mean, and Fifth Amendment to violation. You got so many violations here, okay?
Uh-huh.
They're coming after you criminally for a criminal case without an indictment. You have a right for an indictment. It's a gun issue where you have a right, and the Supreme Court has already made just recently last year. They made a decision on that, the Second Amendment, that they can't make laws against that.
Yep.
So you got that in court. You bring all that stuff into court. You may get away with it on the federal level, moving it to there for cause. But first, before you did that, since you're halfway there, I would first push this jurisdiction and demand that there be, look at the, you got an affidavit before the court, you know, be respectful. Your Honor, I got an affidavit before the court, okay? You're telling me you have jurisdiction. The law requires, and you read it off, it should be in your paper anyway, law requires once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be heard, number one. Jurisdiction must be on the top of the paperwork. What's the jurisdiction of this court? They can't even answer that. I got a judge I fought with for 8 months, refused to put the jurisdiction down. Finally, when he threw the court case out, which we're going back into the appeal, he finally came, and I knew what he was coming under. USC 26 has nothing to do with me. So he didn't give me the opportunity to be able to battle that or to challenge that when I asked them, and they refused to give me the jurisdiction of the court. Then they kept moving my case from a trial by jury to a trial by judge. They did that twice. I keep correcting the paperwork. They do whatever they please because they're evil, you know? And so anyway, I would push this issue to force this judge to make a decision.
Okay.
And the decision, and look at, go into the Constitution, your Seventh Amendment, okay? Is this a common law court of record as I'm guaranteed, okay, under the Seventh Amendment and the Fifth Amendment? Okay, that's the question you want answered there. But all those points that you've made on the paper and all of the U.S. Supreme Court rulings that you put in there, if you followed what I had, you got quite a bit in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go through all that, each one of those things has to be answered. Okay, they have to challenge each one of them. Right? They can't stand up to that. I mean, they'll come up with stupidity maybe, but stupidity doesn't mean anything. That's when you move it to federal court for cause. Then.
Okay. Okay.
You want to get out of there as soon as you can.
Yeah.
But remember, the more you push, the more they hate.
Yeah, I kind of got that impression.
You should have someone in the courtroom with you, two or three people if possible, but at least one that keeps notes to see what's going on and writes an affidavit of what they see going on. You can discuss it later. I always find a way to record everything so I can get a real accurate affidavit.
I see. Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, they are setting a court date for the 19th. I'll have my paperwork in well before then, but if they don't answer, I take it, I file the unrebutted affidavit and notice of default, correct?
Well, the notice of default comes at another time. I wouldn't push that right now. First of all, you have to wait so many days. You haven't really filed it yet. You got to wait 30 days after you file it. That's number one. Number two, you're going to file the papers. You're going to go to court. And what's the purpose of the court on the 19th? And also, you want to write an objection. You want to write on the record, because the judge, you said that the judge put in a plea for you, right?
That's right.
And they put it in anyway, even though you spoke and argued it, they put it in anyway?
Yes, I objected and they put it
in anyway. Okay, well, you want to object in writing now.
Okay.
You want to do a paper separately also, basically, you know, concerning what took place in that courtroom, you know. And that on and for the record, you want it to be known that I object to whatever it is you're objecting. You write the details. You only have to write a paragraph or two. It's not a big deal. But you want to get it on the record. And you want to get that paper. And then when you go in on the 19th, you want to say, well, we have a situation here. We can't go forward till jurisdiction is proven. Jurisdiction, once challenged, must be proven. It has not been proven yet. And she'll say to you, well, I already said it's proven. We're going forward. Well, you know, you're the one that's supposed to hear it. How can you make a decision before you don't hear both sides? Have you read my side, and what's the rebuttal on the other side? Let's look at the two papers. Here's my paper. Where's the rebuttal? Now, once we get the rebuttal, now you can make a decision, and now you can give me the details on how it is that how this particular case or this position or this point or this civil law, how it overtakes the Constitution or the United States Supreme Court, decisions. You know, how does that? Then you make your next argument. That's when you're going to move it to federal court.
Okay.
Because now you got the goods.
Okay. Any advice on how to handle the public defender that they assigned to me?
Well, look it. Tell them to sit down and be quiet. You can give some advice. I'm talking. If I want you to talk, I'll let you know.
Okay. That sounds like good advice.
Yeah.
That might even be fun.
Absolutely.
Okay. I appreciate your time and your suggestions.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Gerard, you want to take it? Gerard, did I put you to sleep again? Well, I'll take the next caller while I'm waiting.
I had to wake up my mouse.
Oh, okay. I thought you had to wake you up.
Hang on a minute. How come I don't see? Okay, next question.
Go back and forth. An attendee. Be careful, because sometimes I make that mistake and I hit the end instead of next.
It's Mike, is it not?
Mike's going off. Hit next and Kathy.
Okay, next. All right.
I'll be here in the background. I got some things I got to do, but I may pipe in here and there.
So it's Kathy I. Yes, you're up. You got the mic. Go ahead. Hello? 612? Kathy?
From Iowa.
IA. That's Iowa, huh? IA. Iowa. Iowa.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hey, right.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Okay. John, I had a hearing today on that that alleged claim that ice blew off my windshield and broke somebody's windshield back in 2020, and gone through 3.5 years of hearings and it was called a trial call today, and the judge or the prosecuting attorney, reduced it from a misdemeanor to a petty misdemeanor. So now I don't have the right to a jury trial. They told me. I objected to them. Reducing it to a petty misdemeanor, but it didn't matter. The judge did it anyway, and so now I'm going to have a court trial where a judge decides. I'm still going to be able to question my witnesses, but I think it's absolute BS that I've gone through 3.5 years of hearings.
Damage is there involved?
This is on a windshield? Come on.
It's ice came off his
head. Yes. They had no proof. That was just
It's not a criminal thing. And do they have the piece of ice that broke the windshield?
No, they don't have anything. Even
the evidence melted.
They didn't preserve it.
They should have put it in the freezer. Tell them you demand to see that ice to determine that it was yours. This is I can't believe this has even gone this far.
Well, look, this cost me the probate case in Iowa. There was a probate hearing in Iowa. The same day there was this BS hearing in Minnesota on this broken, cracked windshield. And the Minnesota one said that it couldn't be continued again because I'd continued it so many times.
Let me ask you.
So the judge.
Matthew, hold on a minute. Let me ask you a few questions, okay?
Yes.
First of all, it's a criminal case, isn't it? Because if they're getting you, it's a criminal case, okay? Well, in a criminal case, and the damages is how much?
There is no damages.
Well, then there's no injured party or what?
No, there's nothing. They got nothing. The woman whose windshield allegedly broke, she didn't even report it the day. She reported it a few days later by telephone, and she even said in her statement that she didn't think I was aware that it even happened. So the complainant.
Hold on a minute, please. Because there's a whole bunch of. I'm just going to give you a couple of things to do. And things you have to focus in on. And again, you have to, continue studying and be prepared to deal with your case. It shouldn't be here, and it's ridiculous. Okay, look at first of
I
all.
I know that.
First of all, there's the Fifth Amendment. Okay, and the Fifth Amendment requires it to be a court of law, a court of law which operates with a trial jury, and there must be an indictment. There's a potential jail sentence here, or what's the potential?
That's why they reduced it to a petty misdemeanor. Now there's no longer a potential jail sentence, so that's why they said I'm not eligible for a jury trial. The piece of paper I got at the last hearing.
Right, hold on. I have to mute you only because we got to pick up what you're talking on before you continue on to another part of your story. The bottom line is if it's you called it a petty misdemeanor. What do you call? I never heard of anything. What are you calling it again? Let me unmute you. What are you calling it?
They amended it from it was a misdemeanor. They made it a petty misdemeanor. P E T T Y. Petty misdemeanor.
Stop there. I don't know what that means to begin with, number one, but the big thing is this. What are they looking for? Are they looking for money now? If they're not looking for a jail sentence, what are they looking for?
John, I don't know how to answer your questions. This whole thing never happened.
I
had insurance. I sent it in to them.
Stop. I agree with you. It's ridiculous. Look, first of all, you can't. It's ice. If it comes off of a truck, it comes off a car, that's not your fault. To some degree, it could be because you didn't take the ice off of it. But now they have to have a witness. They have to have a sworn affidavit. There's no court case without a sworn affidavit. Who has the affidavit in order to bring you into that courtroom? There's got to be the individual that has an injury or a broken windshield or something. I mean, I don't understand.
I can email it to you.
But you need to do
it. What I told you. I don't have it with me right now at this very second.
Okay. What I'm trying to say to you is this, okay? A misdemeanor, no matter what you put on, it's got to have some kind of penalty. And a penalty got to be the jail or a fine. In any event, either case, I don't care what they call it. If they're calling it a misdemeanor, then it's considered a crime. And then you have a right to a jury trial. If it's going to be something over $20, that gives you a right to a jury trial also under the Seventh Amendment. So you got to make your arguments on the Fifth and the Seventh Amendment, and you have to ask for the injured party. You have to ask for the affidavit that opened this court of record. And I want to face my accuser. Who's the accuser? There's nothing else to talk about. No matter what you have to say about it, those are the things you have to find out. And you can't do...
There's going to be a hearing in January. This is the last one now. I requested a jury trial. They said it will not be a jury trial. It's going to be a judge. A court trial, they call it.
I already told you what you had to do. You should write a paper concerning the items I mentioned to you. Make a demand. You have a Fifth Amendment right. You have a Seventh Amendment right. You have a right to face your accuser. If you're going to call it a misdemeanor, then that means it's a potential jail sentence or it's a potential fine. If it's a potential fine, first of all, what's the damage? Who is damaged? Where's the sworn affidavit? Who's the injured party? What's going on here? That's it. There's nothing else to talk about in your case, Kathy. Those are the things you have to deal with and press forward with. And you can win on that, and you can report for cause for denying of due process against the Fifth Amendment right and the Seventh Amendment right.
I move it to federal court for cause? Is that what you're telling me?
That's after you go through and they deny you Fifth Amendment right and Seventh Amendment right. You have a right to jury by trial. You have a right to be indicted. If you're going to be a criminal case against you, if it started off as a criminal case, they reduce it to a lower criminal case. It doesn't have a jail sentence, and it must have a fine sentence. Doesn't even make any sense to me, to be honest with you. And then they'll tell you, here's another thing that they'll tell you, and this is important for people to understand. They will tell you they don't need an indictment because it's less than a year. Well, that's a lie straight from Hades, I'll tell you right now. Because if you go into Black's Law Dictionary, you can find out what an infamous crime is. An infamous crime is one that requires or jail sentences attached to. If you're going to lose your liberty, that's the infamous. It's not the crime that makes it the infamous. It's the penalty that makes it the infamous. Okay? That's what you have to realize, because that's another game they play. More wool over the eyes of the people. People go to jail willingly. Oh, it's because it's under a year. They could do it. I don't need an indictment. Yeah, this, that, and the other thing. The judge can make the decision. No trial. That's okay. I'll go. You know? And that's that. That's the problem. Anyway, that's all I got to tell you about it. Those are the things you need to do. And if you have to go back and re-listen to this MP3 for tonight's call, it's an hour and a half in, almost an hour and 20 minutes in, and you can get all the information that I went through if you missed a lot of it. I'm going to pass the mic back to you, Gerard.
Okay.
But that's what you got to do, Kathy.
Joseph?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to get through. Anyway, as I'm brand new, I'm a newbie. My whole world is upside down now. I got IRS after me. The association is trying to charge us $1 million for nothing. And I'm trying to do a bankruptcy. And so I bought this material, and I've been reading about the straw man and all of this kind of stuff. And then I need help, guys. I don't know what to do. I mean, man, I'm a 70-year-old retiree. I'm trying to do the best I can to understand all of this stuff. But, you know, like what I have understood is that if I go over here and get this, what's holding up the, I had an attorney to do the bankruptcy, and I told her, I said, you know, well, I'm learning that income tax is illegal. And if I sign the W-40, 1040, then I'm admitting that I owe them. And then I've been paying these people for 4 years or so, and instead of the money that I'm paying it is reducing, the balance has gone up. So I'm like, I don't know what to do, man. This is a lot of information. Make me fight you, I will. But I don't, man, there's a lot here. Where can I find help?
Listen, you're going to have to educate yourself. Otherwise, you know, you're up against it. You can't go that straw man stuff because they'll say it's frivolous and they'll just convict you. How much is the amount they're looking for? Do you know?
Well, the bankruptcy, I'm not sure. I got some information today. It looks like they're going to try to maybe about $40,000 wipe off, and then there'll be some things that they'll keep. But then IRS is saying about 36 G's that I owe, and they want me to file for last year and, of course, this year. But anyway, so I've been trying to find an attorney that would help me to talk to Uncle IRS and get that reduced, and I don't know where to go. I mean, if you guys got any ideas to, you know, where I can find some help with you guys or something, because, I mean, I know I've got to know the law for myself is what I've read. But, gee, I don't have all that time. What do I do?
You got a problem because your learning curve is too great at this point. I mean, right. the only way you can get them is you got to get them in a horn dilemma. And guys have done it where if they move one way, they're going to go this or the other way, and you win either way. But that takes knowing strategy and court process and all that. You know, yeah, look, we understand that the income tax is illegal, but they've already identified those defenses as frivolous. They won't even hear them. As a matter of fact, they'll sanction you for bringing them up. So you have to be very careful. And I don't know of any attorneys out there, unless you're a millionaire, that's going to defend it on the basis that, you know, look, at everything they do is illegal. I mean, first of all, one of the big things is they never have a proof of claim, you know, and they never have the two forms as they're supposed to. There's never a sworn affidavit. So what I would do is I would just go in and ask for those. Show me that you got fiduciary responsibility over me. Although, you know, you might have signed a W-2 and a W-4 and all that stuff, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, that was under duress. And nevertheless, they never have those two forms that they're supposed to have. I forget what the one is. One's a Form 50, but it's a sworn affidavit and it's a proof of claim. And if they don't have that, they can't proceed. So they tell you that, did they give you a notice of lien?
No, hasn't gotten that far. I was have to get the taxes done by Friday.
Joe, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to bankruptcy court?
Well, because the wife left and we got a car together.
Are you going to bankruptcy court because of the IRS, or are you going to bankruptcy court because of numerous other things?
Because of other things, I couldn't pay my bills.
The IRS problem is not a problem yet because you haven't received a notice of lien. And how you deal with the IRS, you answer every paper they send you, and I always wait till the last day. They'll tell you you got to return within 30 days. Well, you return it in 28 days, okay? They'll take 60 days to respond back. Then you'll respond back to them in another 28 days. They'll take another 60 days to respond back to you. You got 5 or 6 months before the IRS is going to do anything to you, okay? And that means you have time to take a course. Get into the course. We have a court access in the common law course. It only costs $125. You'll learn more in that than you would in any bar school. You'll learn the common law. You'll learn the rules of the court, but really the rules of common law is what really applies in the court. And you can run your paperwork out. We have an example of an IRS case in there. I'm going to be posting another example of an IRS case very shortly, so maybe within the next 30 to 60 days, you'll get an IRS case that I'm working on right now. I got some real powerful stuff. You can almost write your case the way I wrote this case. Just put your stuff in that place. But look, you need to know what you're doing, okay?
Yes.
And you need to have some experience. You need to understand the lingo. You need to understand how the court process works. You need to understand what due process is. You need to understand when they're violating your due process. I make a lot of arguments in this particular case. So any argument that probably you would come up with in the IRS, I probably already have that argument and already in the case. So you have time for the IRS, okay, number one. Now, how much money are you talking about as far as going through a bankruptcy?
I thought it was 60 originally, so I hired an attorney to do the bankruptcy.
Uh-huh.
And so the holdup is me getting the information to her and then being afraid to file the income taxes, because then that puts my neck in another loop.
No. They're going to tell you that you can't put the IRS on a bankruptcy thing, and they get away with that. So you're not going to be able to apply it.
So do not give her the tax returns.
First of all, you have to challenge the whole thing, okay? And you have to, you know, as Gerard mentioned to you, what's their proof of claim? You have to look for Form 4490, which is a proof of claim, and where is the fiduciary authority? How did they get their information? Did they get into your bank? Did your bank make a report to you? Did you respond to the bank? You see, people don't know when the bank lets you know, hey, we just got contacted by the IRS, and they want they want all your information, and in 7 days we're going to send it to them, and people don't do nothing. Well, the bank is giving you half of what the problem, half the solution. They're not giving you the whole solution to your problem. They're notifying you, and you have to deny them and say, do not share my information with anybody. You share my information with anybody, I'm going to sue you. Okay? So you have to deny them sharing your information to the IRS. The IRS has already got that information because they look into your bank accounts anyway, but they want to get something on the record. And what the IRS will also do, if they don't like you and they're coming out after you, they've come out after me for over 20 years. I think we're on 24 years now. And they've come out there so many times. What they've done one time to me is they looked into my account. They saw how much money went through the account over the course of the year. And that's what they said my taxes I owed. So every penny I made, I owe to them in taxes. I had to fight that battle. Now, I did win that case. I got an apology letter from the IRS. I got a paper telling me that I wasn't liable for taxes during those years anyway. And then also they gave me a release of lien, which blew my mind because there was no lien. It was just a notice of lien. The lien didn't exist. Okay? So it's just more fraud on top of fraud. That's fraud in the court, so on and so forth. But this is the game they're playing. But I will tell you another thing. If you deal with the IRS, you answer their letters. Every question they ask, everything that you want to ask a question back, I don't understand that. Where did you get that? Where did you get that number? Do you have a proof of claim? Can you send me a copy of the proof of claim? You know, all those things, back and forth. You could be doing this for a year. IRS will be gone by the end of next year.
Okay, so here's the issue. Well, the first issue is the bankruptcy, too, because I got bank loans. I've stopped paying. Now they've sold the car.
Bankruptcy, I've done it pretty easy. Okay, I'd done a bankruptcy about 25 years ago, 30. Well, let me think. Yeah, about 25, maybe 30 years. It's quite some time ago I did a bankruptcy. And I didn't even know nothing about the courts back then. I just got to some information from bankruptcy, started reading on it. It was really just filing everything and filing what you own, and you have to be careful. You got to be honest. You can't hide nothing because if they find out, it's fraud. So you got to be careful. You know, you put up what you owe and you put up what you got and what you own, and that's it. And it just goes through. Now, they try to push it back for a lawyer. I pushed back. I'm not going to get no lawyer. And I pushed it through the system, and it went through.
Stop for just a second because I missed one thing. You're saying do not file for bankruptcy and take the course?
Don't put the IRS into your bankruptcy. Go talk to
you. Okay, I got that.
That the IRS you can't file bankruptcy against the IRS because they're better than you. They own you. You're a slave. They're the master. So you can't.
Right. Well, that was the hold up for me getting the information to my attorney, because I told her I didn't think that it was fair, and I think that it's optional. Oh, no, Joe. No. Joe, pay your taxes. So that's why I haven't proceeded with the bankruptcy. So the question is, okay, I understand the IRS.
You need to go talk to a lawyer because, as far as I know, and I've looked into this before, but I haven't done heavy research, and I have to, you know, I went off other people because I spoke with lawyers. This is way back when. The thing is you can't put IRS, whatever money you own IRS, you can't file any bankruptcy. If your lawyer says you can, you better get a second opinion on that. The thing is, if you can, fine, file it in there. But you still have to answer their questions on their paper. You still have to start responding back and forth, talking with them. And remember, there is no proof of claim at this point. They haven't filed a lien at this point. They are claiming you owe a certain amount of money, I guess, in a letter form, and that's about it, right?
Well, they're claiming that I haven't filed for taxes, filed income taxes for last year is what they're claiming.
Well, again, here, look, you can put this off for years, literally, if you just answer their things and ask questions. I don't understand. How is it that I'm liable? Can you explain it to me? Where is the law? You know, just go back and forth. Ask stupid questions. It doesn't matter. Just go back and forth. They take a long time to respond. I'll tell you, they'll take 90 days. They want 60 to 90 days. They'll take 90 days every time. They'll require you to respond in 30 days. So you respond in 30 days. They respond in 90 days. That's 4 months. Every time you communicate, that's 4 months. If you communicate twice, you're 8 months. You go three times, the IRS no longer exists. You're at the end of next year.
Okay, I'm sitting here reading, dealing with the IRS by Mike Ornelas, and I think I have something from you guys with the IRS. But I understand that part. But the bankruptcy concerning the other bills that I haven't paid, like the bank loans and stuff, and the car loans and stuff.
You have to work out to bankruptcy.
Just go on and do that, right?
Okay. Yeah, as long as if you don't have enough to pay it, you're gonna lose assets and different things, but it'll be a lot cheaper, I guess. I don't know your situation. A lot mm-hmm. cheaper going that way than for them to come out after you and start leaning you and going mm-hmm. after different things and just ending up in court and going through craziness. Once you file bankruptcy, everybody stops. And if you owe a parking ticket, put it on there. I mean, the least little thing, a medical bill, put everything in there. You might as well take advantage of the whole thing.
Okay. Now, the other question is about the association. They did half of the exterior work before COVID. They took our money, and then they charged us $172,000 to rehab the exterior of our condo unit. Now, they've been getting my money and all of these other monies, and now they want to tell us that they need architectural drawing for $1 million. They can do the rest of it.
Contract agreement with them. I don't know. I don't know what they can do, what they can't do. You got to go to your contract. There are certain. Well, with this kind of thing, I don't know. I know in construction law there are certain things people can't put in a contract because it's so biased and so wrong. Okay, you just can't do it. Okay, and it won't hold up. I don't know how the law goes with what you got. You got some kind of a thing going where you've got a contract. You're in a community where you're sharing aesthetics and certain look in the place and certain requirements, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And you agree to all these things. You need to go into your contract and read through this to see if they can do the things that you're talking about. And if they can, then they can. There's not much you can do about it because...
Here's the thing. I'm a retired carpenter. I'm a metal stud frame. I'm a sheetrocker. I understand what they're doing to the exterior of the building. I'm a retired carpenter. I'm an ex-contractor. I'm an estimator. And you telling me some BS about you got to have architectural drawings and nobody's going to do it.
Architectural drawing for what? The new siding, or they're redesigning, or what are they doing?
No, they ain't redesigning nothing, brother. They just taking drywall and insulation off and replacing it.
Got a case. Challenge that. Of course, that's a ripoff. That's
what I'm trying to tell you, man. And there they paid $17.20 based upon 10,000 square feet. The first work was $172,000. Right,
well,
that's about 17.
I can't get into all those details, but yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You're trying to rake us over the barrel.
Listen, you need to go sit down, read through your contract, list out exactly everything you understand as you go, what's going to be required of you, what they can do, what they can't do. Now, as far as the situation with going out to hire an architect. Well, then you need to go challenge that. You write a letter and you certify the letter and you demand an answer. You do it in a notice and demand. They have to answer. And you say, Why would you explain to them? I know how things work. I know you don't need an architect to put up sheetrock or any of that stuff. The only thing you're going to need is maybe some kind of an inspection, potentially speaking. I mean, they love the building inspectors like to get involved in that. So, I mean, that's about it. There's no,
right.
If they're not making any alterations to the face of the building.
No. no.
And any alterations to the plumbing and electrical.
No.
Right. Anyway, we don't want to get too much into that conversation. But yeah,
okay, well,
we'll read your contract. Okay. Gerard, back to you.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Now, I did hear that you guys had some courses that I could take. And how do I get into the program in order
right
to do
there.
That?
Are you looking? Are you able to see the desktop here?
I am. I just saw something that moved. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the book, Court Access and the Common Law, if you want to buy the book. Education starts here, and here's your education. We got all these courses here. You got a foundation study, a free foundation study, free Constitution 101 introduction, free civics course, government by consent. You have to be a premier member. A premier member is someone who's given $5 a month or more.
I'm doing that already.
Yeah, militia course is free. Certificate of and a jury administrator credit course also, if you're a premium member, you can take that course too. Now, court access and the common law, you click on that. This will teach you the law, how the court system works, the whole thing. And it's 125.
And I bought all of these books.
Huh?
And I bought all of these books. I have them.
Okay.
As
well,
many as I could.
If you got court access and the common law, you got a lot of stuff. This course has more and is more specific and detailed, but the book is definitely good. It's a good referral back to. And we have all the forms that you have in the book, we have at the course, and more. We have more forms and more information in the course. So do I
take the course online or just buy the book and start reading? Because I have the book.
Well, you could do just the book if you want, but I think if you really want to understand how things work, and you would go through a lecture process, and I set
the
course up differently. This is an actual, this is a course on law. We're more in depth, more hours, more in depth, more detail, more information than what you would learn in bar school that will cost you $150,000 in 2 years. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Our course 90 hours long. Okay, that's a quite a long course, and tremendous amounts of information, and a lot of cases that you can kind of, you know, work off as a framework to your case.
Mm-hmm.
Cases. So anyway, that's where you should go for that, in my opinion.
So
you have
okay.
to. If you're going to go into court, you need to understand how the court system works, how it's structured, how due process works. And you have to know when they're pulling the wool over your eye. This will teach you a lot of that. But that's a lot of experience and common sense that comes with seeing that they're suckering you.
Is that where you would encourage a rookie like me to start, or should I start below that?
I want to get this into the schools. Children, by the time they get out of high school, should know have this course already done inside them. They should know how to. Children should know by the time they come out of high school, 18 years old, they should be able to drive a vehicle, they should be able to shoot a weapon, and they should be able to, and understand how to handle weapons, and they should also know how to go into a court, how court process works, and be able to defend themselves. That's what they should be learning in school, along with the basic subjects, you know, English, math, and history, and geography, and that kind of stuff.
So start here.
This is the most in-depth course I ever put together right here.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir, and thank you, guys. And thank you. I just got a lot of work ahead of me. Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome back to you, Gerard.
We got about 15 minutes. Okay. Let's go to the next question. Looks like we got Tim in there, and then there's nobody after that. So, Tim, you're on. We got to you. Are you still there? Hello, Tim. I hear you.
Okay.
You're a little low.
Okay. For something. If the question, if the question isn't minded, if you don't mind, I say it that way. When John referred to the military going to, he was talking about a de-evolution. Is he, that's related? If he doesn't mind, he can elaborate on that.
You're cutting in and out on me. I don't know if it's my things. Is he cutting out for you guys? I mean,
he's looking to understand devolution.
I know. I didn't hear the full question because he like fades and then comes back in.
I wish he, John said something about the military, that they understood that he was implying the military was going to intervene somehow and to, in relation to the situation our country is in.
Well, yeah, that's the actual knowledge that's out there, is that, that they're going to come in and straighten things out under, you know, we believe that Donald Trump has already instituted devolution, and that he really is the commander-in-chief, and we have lots of evidence that suggests that. And there are certain guys that are out there, you know, compiling this and making the argument for military justice and the laws and the orders and everything that's happened. It makes it obvious that he's still in control. And what's going to happen is when that comes in, the IRS is going to go down. They are definitely an unconstitutional, illegal organization, you know, and you don't owe them any money. I mean, they're also talking about, you know, when they fix this, that they're going to put in some kind of a flat tax across the board. I don't know about that, but everything will be forgiven because for not only that, they got to pay you back for anything they ever took. So that's what we're hoping for. That's our hopium dream, basically. And, you know, the word is out. People aren't stupid anymore like they used to be. And more and more people are, what?
Can you check the fire before you go to bed?
Sure.
I threw wood on it, but yeah. Probably need a couple more pieces. All right, love you.
Yeah.
Night.
So, and that's what it looks like now. Look at the banks are going down as we speak. There's going to be a lot of revelation, and we got to go back to common law and a constitutional government. And so common law basically it demands on something like that where they just steal money from you, triple damages. I don't know how they're going to pay it, but they'll do it, and that's they're going to actually have restitution set up. Look, they know every dollar you ever spent because they're watching everything. It's all been recorded one way or another. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe some of the cash is not, but generally they know how much money you made, how much taxes were taken out, and, you know, that was all a fraud. You know, the whole system is a fraud, and it is going to go away, and they're going to pay restitution. And, of course, the older people are going to get more because they've been paying it longer than the younger people, and there is going to be a reset. I mean, we don't want the Klaus Schwab reset, which is a digital bank currency that brings in China 2.0 with a social credit score. That's not going to happen. We're not going to stand for that. But very close to, I believe, we're very close to that action taking place where the martial law is actually declared, and they're going to arrest a lot of these people like Fauci and all these other ones that put this fraud upon us. And I don't know how long that's going to take, and I don't know, you know, I think that you're going to see the supply chain go down. You're going to see, you know, there's going to be collateral damage, you know. People may starve. I don't know. It shouldn't happen. But, you know, every famine since the beginning of time that I know of, just about, unless it was in ancient days, was always man-made, you know. I mean, all the ones in Africa were man-made. You know, when Idi Amin was in there and they had starving people,
he stole all the food that the UN sent him, and he didn't give it to the people. And so it's always about money and power. So this is going to be the end of an era, I think. It's going to be the beginning of a new era. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. So stay tuned. I don't know if that answers your question.
I received some information there. Thank you. Or
if you look on the desktop here, coming in on a computer, Tim.
Say that again, John.
Yeah, Tim, is he coming in on a computer? It looks like he is.
Yeah.
Right. Well, look on the desktop. Underneath today's issues, come down to Devolution, click on that, and start watching these videos. Then you also come down to Q News and On, click on that, and start watching the news here. Now, I don't know that this is updated to the latest. Let's see. I think Terry was updating this. I was updating it for a while. Looks like it is pretty close. I think we're only one short. I think there's a 66 out there. But here's where you get a lot of information on this page here. So these two pages, right under today's issues, go to Q News and On and also Devolution. Between those two, you'll come to a good understanding. You'd also look at the Great Awakening down here, a little further down. So those three pages. Watch the videos and come back and talk some more.
Okay, everybody's quiet. I guess that's it, Tim. You're all right. We'll go to the next guy. We got Ron. Let me hit next question. Ron, go ahead.
Ron in Missouri. I have something very, very important to everyone, and it covers everything from property ownership all the way to IRS, court systems, and all of it. Okay, and here's how it works. It's called a copyright of your name, the actor, that you are not. The actor is dead, and when you go into court, you are representing a dead person. Your name is in all capital letters from March 9th, 1933. Your ownership, the first of the 10 planks of communism were instigated in March 9th of 1933, ownership of properties by virtue of the state. Okay, so when you copyright your name, when the court goes in and asks for your particular name and you say it's not me, all of a sudden you put this document up on the court desk and you say, Your Honor, I want to bring this to your attention that you are trespassing on my name, and that is worth $1 million. You also file a UCC. So when you buy a piece of property, anything that you turn over to the government has to do with turning over ownership of property to the virtue of the state. In other words, you turn your ownership of property over when you sign up on the recorder of deeds, your driver's license, your marriage license, all of it. That's why your children can become owners of the state, because you never claim them through a UCC, which is a recourse and remedy from the fraud and extortion that was allowed to happen March 9, 1933. So, now, under those circumstances, okay, ownership of properties by virtue of the state, so you copyright your name, all right, with an affidavit. With, let me see what else we have here.
Listen, everything they did to gain control, as you see it over you, was fraud. Correct. And so fraud vitiates everything. Everything they think that they have on you, they don't have. It's all going to go away. I mean, I understand that there's people that have been doing this. It's not necessary anymore. Why go through the trouble of the UCC? And you got to be careful with the UCC, because that's their game. And if you don't do it right, they'll come back after you. They'll put you in jail because they're experts at it. And they don't follow the law. They do whatever they want. I mean, we see that. Look what they did to Trump. They don't. They file fake charges, and then they don't even follow their own rules. I would not want to go head to head with them in a court of law like that, because it's not fair. I mean, unless I could bring a pistol and have a duel with you when we're done, I wouldn't go in there.
No, you still. You know what? I can't argue the point. Okay, but here's one more thing that people might want to listen to, and his name is David Merlin. Okay. And he has a beautiful way of the right to travel, okay? And also, the IRS, guess who the felons are? The IRS agents. So that's another one.
Now, I know David Merlin. I went through the whole tax things for years. John and I actually did. And there's some pretty smart guys out there, you know what I mean? But, you know, they are arrogant, and they don't follow the rule of law. You're dealing... Look, that's like going into the mafia, and when the boss calls you and says and tells you, I'm going to do this, this, and that, and you go, well, you can't do that because that's not moral. He's going to laugh at you, you know?
Here's the bottom line. You know, Jesus came down here, and guess what happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
In order for evil to reign, it takes a good man to be silent. I've already been to jail. Okay.
Listen. He's coming again, and this time he's not coming with that benevolent peace. He's coming. He's coming with justice and vengeance. So
absolutely. So you know. So here's another one. 2023 prophecies of Daniel, and supposedly the coming of the Lord is 7 years away. We could very well be in the 7 years of tribulation. So, but anyways, here's another one for you. UPU. Universal Postal Union. Here's one for you if you don't want to accept a letter from IRS, which John already said you should answer this. But under Title 18, Crimes Criminal Procedures Part 1, Chapter 63, it's called mail fraud. Okay? Because when they send it, it goes to a corporation, and you can't do that through the Universal Postal Union. Because of 1342, which is fictitious, okay, which is against the law, but apparently nobody cares about the law anyway. But this gives them something to put on their envelope. Don't open it up and send it back. Acceptance refused for fraud without dishonor. And then you've got 1341, frauds and swindles, which that's exactly what IRS does. They defraud you, and they swindle you. And that's exactly what's going on, because you happen to be a Christian common man that has forgotten about God. So Satan's come in and made you in all capital letters and put you in slavery because of your arrogance and ignorance to put, you know, of not being able to self-educate yourself, because that's what they want. They want you to be a good...
Oh. It's not your fault, because they started with the birth certificate and they traded it as a stock certificate. So, you know, how could you say it's our fault? It's fraud from the beginning.
Well, we still got to self-educate.
I understand that. But, you know, when you're lied to from the day of your birth, and they got your parents believing that you're signing you over to the state, the only one who can fix something like that is God himself. Because... when people are lied to from the ages when they trust everybody, and then you grow up in this paradigm, and then all of a sudden you find out down is up and up is down, and you know it's like 1984, you know, freedom is slavery, slavery is freedom, you know, everything's ass backwards today, and it's about as bad as it can get right now. It can't get much worse, believe me. I mean, other than us being in concentration camps, which over here in New York, that's what Hochul's hoping for. She's put the law on that they can come and take you for any reason or no reason. And so,
you're not giving me much hope here, but...
No, it's good, because when it gets to that point, people aren't going to go. Guns are going to come out. What you need to do is find out from your sheriff and your state police, are they going to enforce this law? Because if they do, they're part of the crime. And as far as I'm concerned, at that point, they're liable to be shot, because they're using deadly force to enforce an unconstitutional law.
Well, you already know they're pretty well
No, because they lost 2,500 police when that law went through in New York City, and you know a lot of the cops are not going to enforce it. And I dare say even the state police know better. Listen, they live local; they got to go home at night. So I don't think they got the support that they think they got. And unless they're going to bring in UN troops or something like that, and I don't believe that our that's what our military is for, to make sure it never gets to that point. Look, we can handle our counties. We have militias, and we can build up our militia. We don't need the military to save us. We need to save ourselves. We just need the military to make sure that they don't get soldiers of fortune in here, that they don't bring in UN troops, that type of stuff, which I don't think it's going to get to that. If our military concentrates on protecting America, we could do a fine job.
Well, let me finish one other thing here on this copyright name, okay? There is an easement here. It says, send them a bill, and, you know, I've already been warned, okay, and you've warned me too, of anyone infringing on your copyright without permission. Typically, a presentment involves two parties, assuming an attorney. Is the picture, so the minimum fee is $2 million in silver dollars, wait 30 days to receive payment, and then record an affidavit of non-payment with your bill attached into the county recorder's office. An unrebutted affidavit becomes a judgment, need deceit, after 30 days, and you don't need to go to court to collect on it. In this way, you are generally generating paperwork in their venue, which will eventually be noticed by the bonding companies who identify the actions of government employees. The bond company may refuse to renew coverage at some point because of unacceptable risk. Without a bond, a government employee cannot fulfill the duties of his office and conduct his commercial business. Therefore, we could. You know, this is another way, finally, even though they may imprison some of us, we still can file these complaints on these doggone communist people that are abusing their power. Okay, and I've been through these courts. I already know what they can do. As a matter of fact, I served a little bit of time. All right, so... But I'm learning. It's called OJT, on-the-job training, all right? And this is what I'm coming up with here. So, you know, if people, even 1% or 2%, you know, like John said, you know, there was 10 people that, approached Jesus, and they were all lepers. And Jesus cured them all. And out of 10%, or say 100%, or 10 people, one came back, one, you know, to thank and glorify God.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, this is the thing here. What are we going to do? I know it's almost, you know, time.
Listen, I'll give you a simple solution if you want to take it. The IRS operates on, they say it's voluntary because you volunteer the information. If you don't send in W-2s, W-4s, 1099s, then they don't act. Now, I know it's hard. It's very hard to get a job without filling out a W-2. There's a form out there right now that says that you're not bound, and it's an IRS form. I just saw it the other day. I copied it, and basically it says, don't take any money out of my pay because I am not the subject of that tax, and they have to do that. If you don't send any information reports in that you're earning taxable income, and John's done this. Go read the definition of taxable income. Well, unless you're dealing in tobacco, alcohol, or firearms, you don't have any taxable income. Okay, so this has all been found out. So just stop your W-2s, W-4s, become self-employed, and don't report. They can't make the report.
That's what I did. Okay, 20 years ago, I stopped doing all that, and I don't leave the system. Okay, I don't support, you know, abortion, and, you know, and all the rest of the doggone BS that, you know, every time you pay federal income tax, you are paying for your extortion, okay? It's like paying the federal mafia for their protection for not coming against you, yeah? And all you got to do is educate yourself to where, you know, here's the other one. Here's a W-8-B-E-N, but people don't know that there's two names out there, okay? And it still goes back to the copyright. you know, the affidavit of trademark and copyright and waiver for tort. Okay, it still goes back to all of that. Even if they didn't do anything and they just tried this, okay, yeah, you may go to jail. But I'll tell you what, in a lot of cases, you'll get set free. And the thing about this is, then you just take it to federal court, and I don't know if that's it much better, but, you know, they're still going to come after you in the false name. False name is fraud, extortion at its best by our government. And that's, the, you know, that's, you know, plain and simple. And until people start to wise up, it's like, you know, all the churches are empty right now. We're getting ready, you know, because nobody's got time, all the amenities and everything. But I'll tell you what, if we don't, you know, we're on the cusp, you know, of World War III, maybe another year or two. You know, but the bottom line is, if we don't start paying attention to the Creator, He ain't going to be paying attention to us. And, you know, and nobody, you know, when they hear that, you know, I can hear them scoffing already, okay? But, that, you know, and the traditional Catholic terrorists, okay, that's probably the only true church, because they're the only ones being persecuted, because they know the truth. And now we've got the false prophet.
They've all been infiltrated, I'll tell you what. Anyway.
I totally agree. No, I'm not gonna, there's no argument here. You know, you said a whole bunch of truth, okay? But the bottom line of the story is, just like John wouldn't be where he's at. He's doing a fantastic job. He's upholding, and he's on the slaughtering block, so to speak, because he's standing up for what is true, for what God, you know, put him here for, you know, to stand up for what he believes in, like I believe, you believe, the Constitution, God, country. You know, fear of God is the start of wisdom. But all of this stuff, you know, that I've got, you know, 20 years I have not paid federal income tax because I self-educated. He gave God, gave me something. He gave us two things, your spirit and your brain. And unfortunately, most of us can't use it. So today, you know, I just sat here watching all of this stuff. And, you know, this copyright would end an awful, awful lot. But it would take, you know, judges to you know, they would have to admit and honor their oath of office to the Constitution and their right, instead of the abuse of power, to actually do justice for the poor little guy that comes in his proper name.
I think that's going to be all over this year. I think that's all done. I think they know all about that. I think everybody's educated. You know, they want you to think you're in a minority and crazy, but that's not the case anymore. And listen, we're living in an exciting time, so, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think we got very long to wait to see the beginning of the end here, so to speak.
One more thing, and then I'll get off of here. But anyways, I just did some studying, and Jesus died April the 3rd. Of 33.
Hey, that's my birthday. Stop.
Really? Well, happy birthday to you. But anyway, what happened is, go back to 79, I was at the Recorder of Deeds, and she said, yeah, it was about that time, you know, and I'm thinking it was April or May or March, right in there, and I went out to buy some tools. And I asked the guy, I said, how much? And he says, look, he says, you know, we're, you know, there's 18% inflation, 18% interest, 24% inflation. He says, we've had a price raise for three times in 1 month. He says, I got to call and find out. In any case, that particular time, right in that era, okay, gold went to 900. Okay, instead of $235, even my grandpa called me. Where the heck do I get gold at? But this is going to happen exactly what you're talking about. Okay, and it's coming, you know, but we've got hyperinflation to go and all kinds of crazy things. But I believe, you know, that you are correct. And I'm going to make it around April or May, somewhere in there, that this stuff hits the fan. And, you know, and I hope everybody's all stocked up with, you know, their food. You know, and everything that they're going to need, because
yeah, a lot of people are not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe those who are can help the ones who are not. I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Well, it's going to be love thy neighbor or shoot thy neighbor, and I hope it's, you know, we need to turn back to God and get going, you know. But anyways, hey, it's been a pleasure, and I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah. Okay, we're about 15 minutes over. Who do we got? Somebody snuck in there. Anthony from West Virginia.
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Something quick, because we're over time. What's up?
Yeah, this is really quick, but I signed off just a couple of minutes ago because I wanted to go to the Devolution movies, and I'm looking at the Devolution section right now, and none of those movies have any time on them. They don't play.
Uh-oh. We'll have to let John know. They should work.
Yeah, there's nothing there. The all of the cover... The cover icons or whatever you want to call them are there for the movies, you know.
Right.
I mean, but you can click on the arrow, but there's no time on any of these movies,
and they don't go anywhere.
I would refresh.
There it goes.
Their okay. family, so like all natural biome.
Begins playing. It begins playing late. It takes about a minute to a minute and a half to start playing at first. After that, they'll all play very quickly.
Oh, then that answered that question. I'm glad. I'll just wait. That's the only reason why I called, and just to settle that. And of course, I'd love to say hi to you guys. And it was a good call tonight. Real good call.
Thank you.
You guys, get a lot of rest, and hope to see you next week or sooner.
Okay, good. Thank you. God bless.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. God bless, brother.
Bye-bye. Oh, stop.